Okay, well, I'm not sure which session this is, but it's actually the sixth. I'm sure that's not the sixth Sunday, but it's the sixth lesson that we're looking at today. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 in terms of discipline, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so I wanted to take a Sunday to just talk about the use of the rod. I know it's sometimes a controversial topic, but something I think the scriptures are pretty clear about, but not necessarily clear certainly in our culture, and even in the evangelical circles, in the evangelical culture, it is sometimes a debated issue. I didn't think it was necessarily a problem for us in our church, as I can see. But I do want to address it, and we can have questions about it and so forth. If you'll turn the Hebrews chapter 12, this is not in your sheet here, but I thought about this passage, and we're going to read it again in the service. But in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 7, he says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. And he's speaking about the struggle against sin, living in the world, and considering that Christ is exalted in heaven and his grace coming to us. But he says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, that is, these earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. In other words, they did the best they could. As it seemed best to them. But he disciplines, that is the Lord, us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so what the Lord is saying here is that a big part of our raising children is a discipline. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, bring them up, nurture them like plants in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that word discipline is the Greek word paideia. And it doesn't refer to corporal punishment necessarily. What it speaks about is a sort of overall training of a child, nurturing them up, training them. The paideia is sort of a general term that's actually a form of the word child. It's just the idea of training. And then instruction is nuthateia, which has to do with the idea of putting things into the mind. That's literal instruction. Verbal and books and so forth, but putting something into the mind. Nous is mind in the Greek. So nutheteia is putting a truth into the mind. So there are these two aspects that are interrelated, a sort of overall training and then the instruction. And it's my view that there's a reason that Paul puts discipline first and instruction second. I think there's something about the order there that's important because instruction cannot really happen unless there is discipline, unless there is this willingness to listen, a willingness to receive, an understanding of that I'm under authority, I'm to be instructed, and this is a good thing for me. And so that really does have to happen. I told you last week that my experience as a public school teacher and seeing that worked out that without discipline, there's very little instruction that can go on. And so this is very important. And as we've kind of worked our way through, you know, with there is a method to my madness here, and kind of starting with our own hearts and the big picture of life, the Christian life lived in the context of God's people, the church, and then the beauty of authority that God has made us. As creatures who live under authority, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And there's a sort of order that God has established in the world. We've talked about the nature of a child is fallen. We come into this world with a fallen nature. The Proverbs say foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's true of all of us, is that we're not naturally receptive to instruction. We're not naturally loving to other people. You know, you don't have to teach a child to be selfish. That just comes with the territory. It's natural. That's in the heart. And so our job, our duty as parents is to seek to raise them in that discipline instruction of the Lord. Okay, and then we talked about the duty of the child. It's really interesting, isn't it, that the only instruction that's given specifically to children in the Bible is this instruction to obey. It's their whole duty. Okay, and apart from that, there really can be nothing added to it. Okay, so it's very important. And then, of course, we talked about Ephesians chapter 6. So what I want to do today is to just kind of give us a sort of biblical underpinning for the use of the rod. Corporal punishment is valid and it's biblical. And it needs to be done with care, obviously, and with love and instruction. And so we'll see that in these Proverbs. So if you will, let's first look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. You'll notice if you've got your hand out there, scriptural foundation, and all of these are in the Proverbs, and then principles. And I'm going to kind of wed those two together as we talk through. But let's look at Proverbs 13 and verse 24 first. And I even hear this in some evangelical circles that, well, we can't really take the Proverbs as being authoritative because they're just sort of general principles of wisdom. And I think, all right, general principles of wisdom. So it's wisdom that the Lord has chosen to give us in the Proverbs, and we to our destruction don't heed wisdom that the Lord has given to us just because it's not in a New Testament letter, you know, laid out doctrinally. It doesn't mean that it's not from the Lord and doctrinally accurate. So 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son." It's very strong language, isn't it? "But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." We'll point out just two things. One, the striking nature of verse one, that if you're a father and you are reluctant to discipline, you are reluctant even to use the rod, the corrective discipline of the rod with his son, is showing that you hate him. You do not desire his good. You are reluctant to do it. It may be feelings. It may be emotions. It may be sometimes the experience of your own past. You may have grown up in a home where the father was abusive. sad. It's very sad. Or you may have been traumatized even as a child in the use of the rod. And again, very sad. But at the same time, you still must honor the Lord and heed what He says about what is good and right. And there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Okay? It's like anything else in life, that the Lord tells us something that is good. Our sinful natures will often take what is good and turn it into something that's bad. And that happens. It has happened in the world. And so, we cannot be guided by simply our feelings or even our past experiences emotionally. We're going to bring our thoughts and minds captive to the Word of God. Okay? And so, we take that. Whoever spares the rod, that is, does not take it up, so to speak, it hates his son. So the use of the rod, this is the first principle, is loving. Right? That's the first thing we need to, and we might have said the proper use of the rod. The proper use of the rod is loving, and failing to use the rod is a form of hatred of our children. Okay? We might come back to that, but whoever loves him is diligent. That's the second thing, is diligent to discipline. He's looking. It's not like I'm looking for a way to use the rod with my child. No, that's not it. But what I'm diligent about is observing. Now, sometimes as fathers, we get tied up and looking at various things, and we overlook areas where we ought to press in and be diligent. And sometimes so we can leave that to the mom, which is not good. I think it's for a reason that the Lord says in Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He puts the emphasis there, and I think rightly, upon fathers. I'm the head of the home, and so the buck stops here, so to speak. It's not like mothers are not, you know, to be diligent to discipline, and mothers who are with their children every day, you know, they're gonna be doing a lot of that. But the buck stops here. The buck stops with the dad, with the father. And I need to be diligent to observe in my children many things, how they relate to each other, but also how they relate to their mother. That I can't just leave that to her when they are perhaps disrespectful to her and disobedient to her. I need to step in to be diligent, discipline. Okay, and y'all jump in whenever you want to. But verse 22, or chapter 22 and verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. He didn't even have to say children, did he? Folly is bound up in the heart of man. Remember Psalm 14, the Lord looks out upon the children of man. And this is what he sees. He sees folly. And remember that folly in the Bible is not immaturity. Okay, we think of folly, foolishness, as being immature. But in the Bible, folly, there's a moral equation to folly. It's a moral corruption in folly. Nabal is the Hebrew word, and Nabal was not a frivolous, immature. He was a man who was wealthy. He was smart. He was a good businessman, but he was foolish. He was morally corrupt. And so that corruption in the heart, we come into the world with that. David said, surely I was a sinner from birth. I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That we come into the world that way. And so folly is bound up in the heart of the of a child. Where am I? Verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. God has given us a tool, so to speak, a useful tool. Somebody?
It does not say folly lies loosely on the heart of the child. It is bound up.
Yeah, it's kind of wrapped around it. It's there. Yeah. And that's so important for us to realize, not only as parents, but just as human beings, that's the sinful nature of man. The Bible speaks more harshly to us than we would speak to ourselves, doesn't it? That there's no one who does good, not even one. The idea of depravity. So something else I wanted to say. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline drives it far from him. I've often thought, you all, this is not necessarily biblical, but it's just a thought that I've had, that when God designed the human body, he designed one place in the human body that is amenable to corporal discipline. It's a place that stings, but it does not do irreparable harm. It's perfect. It's perfect. You probably look at me and go, "Boy, he must have really enjoyed it," but probably too much. But it's true. I mean, it's just true. It just strikes me as obvious that the Lord has fashioned us. It puts a hole in the whole theory of evolution, doesn't it? That we're not evolved from animals. We were created, and part of the creation is that he's given us this spot that's just perfect for the rod. It can be done, and it's over with. And there's no lasting, there's no lasting pain, really. If you do it so that there is lasting harm, you've done it wrong. You've done it wrong. And so it's perfect. The anatomy is perfect. Do you have a comment?
Well, I was just going to say that it's perfect.
Yeah. I prefer to use an instrument, but we won't go into that. But anyway... particularly since my son is here. I don't want to even talk about that.
May or may not
have
my name.
We won't go there. Chapter 23 and verse 13. It's another one. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him, and again, I think that what is understood here is in the right place. Okay, in the right place. I don't think he's meaning you take the rod and you whack him in the head with it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in the place that is perfectly designed. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his shoulder. Well, I'm sorry. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. He will not die. It will actually. And then 14, you strike him, you will save his soul from Sheol. There is a real sense that the discipline that we do with our children, the discipline and instruction of the Lord, are instruments that God has given to us to bring our children to the Lord. Obviously corporal punishment will not save a child. It's the Lord that does that. But in our discipline, in our instruction, our seeking to bring them up in the ways of the Lord often uses that. If you think about the history of Christianity in the world, most people, not all, thankfully, most people become Christians through the influence of their parents. We talk about generations of Christians. I read a book once that was kind of highlighting the genealogy of Jonathan Edwards. And then it did a genealogy of a man who was a contemporary of Edwards, who was not a Christian. And it followed the genealogies of these two men for about 200 years. And it really is amazing. Edwards' genealogy, you know, there were Christians after Christian after Christian, well-used people, you know, in the world, college presidents and so forth, you know, and this other man, the genealogy went the other way. So there's just tremendous influence that is in godly bringing up of children and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We can't say, okay, we do that, our kids are going to become Christians. No, we can't say that. But what we can say is that we can be a useful tool in God's hand, a useful instrument in God's hand to bring our children up and into saving faith. That's the Lord does that. But that's what we want. We want to be useful. We want to be instruments that the Lord might be see fit to use. And we do not want to fail in this area of discipline and bring them up that way. Yeah.
Well, Proverbs also says to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it.
There you go. There you go. That's an encouragement, isn't it, to train up our child, our children in the ways of wisdom. Added a book there, Bruce Ray, that where he's talking basically about corporal punishment, you know, and he's talking about it well. Withhold, not correction. So that's another. Okay, that's 23:13, and then 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It's where the Proverbs often work is giving us contrasts or complementary. And here's a contrast. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, this, do what you want to do, you know, hands off. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I want to point out something here in verse 15 that we also saw in Ephesians chapter 6 is the rod and reproof. It is very important, particularly in corporal punishment, but any sort of discipline, that our children understand, or at least we seek to help them understand why that this is happening because, okay? And that instruction goes into the use of the rod. Okay? That they understand this is what, you know, daddy's doing, this is what mommy's doing, this is why. And also it gives a wonderful opportunity for the gospel. You can talk about sin, you can talk about daddy's sin, mama's sin. And how the Lord disciplines us, and He disciplines us for our good, and what the desire is for it. And there's also, when you, if you think about it, those times can be very precious times to encircle, you know, our children with love. And with the gospel, and sometimes there's a sort of readiness to hear when that sort of rebellious spirit is broken, and that's another point to be made. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later. The question: how much is enough? And the answer to that is I don't know, but you can know. You can know if in the time of administering some discipline, you kind of sense a hardness and a, you know, rebellion even against that, then it's probably not enough. That what you want, you know, you hear in the world, well, you don't want to break the spirit of a child, okay? Okay, what you want to break, though, is a rebellious spirit. You want to break that, and you want to bring them to submission. And then the ears are open. The ears are open. And not, you know, making sure that when it is done, that you embrace them, you love them, you know, and those two things are not contradictory at all, because the Bible says that if I fail to use the rod, I'm not loving. Okay, so it is love done properly and in the right way. And then the opportunity for embracing and speaking and, you know, instruction and all that can come with now there's a willingness to hear. So it is important to, you know, do it thoroughly. And again, it might vary, you know, with children that one responds very quickly and, you know, the brokenness is there. And another might take a little bit more because of the difference of in the heart and the rebellion in the heart. And so rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So, yeah.
I had something to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
When you use the discipline correctly, like the verse said, it's also with the purpose of so that you don't have to do it eventually. You want to use the discipline to correct their path. In Proverbs 29, verse 17, it says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart." So the aim is for them to eventually see God and pursue Him. And in that obedience, that gives joy and rest to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a great verse. Discipline your, I think in the older, the NIV, it said, discipline your son, he will give you peace. You know, rest, peace. And it was, it really is true. And yeah, I think the earlier, that the rod is used rightly and well, makes its use later on unnecessary. And really, you know, after a child is, again, it might vary, 8, 9, 10, 15, no. It should not be necessary, put it that way. It can actually be demeaning after a certain age. Hopefully you won't see the necessity as teenagers. There'll be other things that you can put in your toolbox to use later. Okay, I firmly believe if early on we are diligent with our small children to discipline them, it becomes less and less necessary as time goes on. The reproof will work. Eric?
The first verse you know, Proverbs 13, 24, whoever spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. There's a note at the bottom that an alternate translation of those Hebrew words is, or who loves him disciplines him early.
Yeah.
I've seen cases where people try to have a conversation and reason with a 1-year-old, or an 8-year-old, or a 14-year-old, and they just frustrated, then they start to try to spank them, and they've lost a lot of time.
What do you discipline? What do you use the rod for? What sorts of sins? What sorts of things? You know, a child spills his milk. You know, is that a rod use? That's probably more immaturity, lack of control, things like that. My own thought is rebellion. You know, where there's rebellion, there might be a consistent, you know, you might argue about this, but a lot of times children get in the habit of complaining, of whining about things, and I don't know that that's a rod offense, maybe the first time, but if it continues, then it becomes rebellion. You know, we have said, you need to change your attitude here. You need to have a better attitude about things, whatever it might happen to be. And then if that continues, it might become then a rebellion, a rod type offense. But we have to be aware of that. I think there's sometimes parents that are not really aware of how their children's, you know, just sort of general attitude about things. When they're deprived of something, when they don't have something, what's their first response? Is it to whine and complain? That's a no-no. We want to be thankful in all circumstances, the Bible says. And we want to teach them that whining and complaining is really a mark of rebellion. And if it persists, then the rod might be necessary. So rebellion is one. I think lying is one. A lie, an outright lie. I think that's a punishable offense, you know, to really get the attention. That is not something that we do. We God hates the liar, okay? I think sort of a general unkindness to others, maybe to a brother or a sister. You know, that unkindness, maybe taking something away or whatever. You might give a word of reproof, and if that works, fine. But again, if you see that sort of consistency, that selfish, that, you know, I want, that might be a place where the rod is useful. And like I say, it gets the attention. You know, God has given us that to make sure. Somebody over here? Oh, okay.
I was going to say, disobedience is something that deviates from obedience. It's something that moves away from obedience. The characteristics of obedience that we learned about in the last session, if we give a verbal command in a natural voice and they don't obey, that's when discipline falls.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't complete the task that you ask them to do, that's disobedience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's reason in there. Why did I complete it? And then if they didn't do a good attitude, that's what you're just mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
That attitude. And then all of our authority is given by God's word. So if there's anything in God's word that they are disobeying, then discipline should be followed.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, a couple of, John.
What do you do in situations when your children are a little bit older, and, you know, obviously homes are training around for relationships, right? And there's some children get along well together, and others, they're just like the same thing on each other all the time, and there's the personality differences, and the age differences. But, you know, where there's arguments, verbal arguments, disagreements, and dealing with that.
My own thought is I would want to take the two of them and try to speak to their hearts a little bit. What's going on here? Particularly if they're older, you know, like maybe 8, 9, 10, right in there. If they're younger and they're being, you know, bad to each other, you know, I would discipline them for that, you know, and perhaps both of them, you know, and then be able to talk to them in a way. As they get older, I would want to reprove that. I would want to jump on that. That's not something that you know, God wants us to do in this family. We don't do that, you know, that sort of. And maybe some natural consequences as they get older, that are, you know, depriving of certain things. You know, as you get older, or as our children get older, I think the use of the rod becomes less and less, or ought to, and more natural consequences could come into play.
I guess the child sometimes is trying to get to the root sometimes, because one says it was this way, the other says it was this way, and you are there to see the situation.
Right.
Camera's in all rooms.
What did you say? Camera's in all rooms. Yeah. You know, one good question, and I got this from Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart, is a good question. What do you want? What is it that you want? You know, and that could sometimes get, well, I want to play with this toy, or I want to do this, or I want, is that more important now to you than, you know, having a good relationship with your sister or your brother? You know, there we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least that, what do you want, can help to kind of get in to the what's going on in the heart. What are you after here? What's your goal here? What, you might not use that terminology, but what do you want? We're always trying, as Ted Tripp said, we're always trying to get to the heart. That's the seat of life. You know, that's where everything is going on, is in the heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, actions and so forth. So we're always trying to get there, with our questions and even this, the use of the rod. It's not like we use the rod and that's it. No. We use the rod in order to get to the heart. You see? And that's the ultimate goal. It's not the rod itself. It's the heart. It's getting to the heart of a child. And that's why that the rod is useful, because it can sort of break that rebellious spirit and sort of soften them up, so to speak, so that you can get to the heart. You know. And that's why it's important, I think, to get there, to get to that place of, you know, and you can sort of, you can kind of feel it almost, you know, where it's a little kind of, you know, there's a sort of breaking of that, you know, rebellious spirit.
Well, kind of along that same line, if the kids are arguing about something, and sometimes it's fruitless to try and figure out who's right and who's wrong. If you're arguing, you're both wrong. So, like what Hank said, getting to the heart of both of them, regardless of what's the actual truth of the situation, they're both responding unbiblically to each other. So I know we want to know what's right, and we want to know the truth, but the truth is both children are sinning against each other. Doesn't matter who said what or who hit first, you hit them back.
Yeah, and you know, useful even passages that you know, can be useful in those situations. You know, that. You know, that the desire for things, you know, and the fruitless desire for things that goes on in our hearts. You know, it's a great opportunity. It's one of the things we said earlier, that not original with me, is that sometimes we look at the misbehavior of our children as kind of being a sort of a bypath, but it's not. It's an opportunity. So, and it's hard for us to see that because they, you know, we want them to do well all the time, but they're not. So look at it as, okay, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for me to get in there and try to get into the heart. And that's why it's so important that fathers can do that, that fathers are diligent and not overlook. I'm too busy. I'm watching a ball game. You know, I mean, all the things that could distract us from what our primary calling is as fathers. So very important. Okay. Well, thank you all. And just very quickly, how could the use of the rod be detrimental?
In anger.
Yep. Well, that's why Ephesians 6, it begins, fathers, do not provoke your children, but instead bring them up. It's a contrast. And so the discipline is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Okay. But it's in the light of do not provoke. So there's an attitude there. There's a responsibility of having myself under control as I'm seeking to discipline and instruct my children. Okay. And the how much is enough? I think we've kind of gotten there a little bit. We want to break the rebellious spirit with them. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that you do not leave us as parents without instruction and without help. And Lord, the application of these truths is where the rubber meets the road, and that's where we need grace. We need grace to seek to understand our children, grace to sort of get into the heart, so to speak, as only you can. But you often, Lord, use us as instruments in doing that. We're the primary source of a godly training for our children. And so we pray that you would help us to do that. Give us an extra measure of your spirit. Help us to be students of your word and your truth, and reading books and things to help us. That you would be our guide and guard and keeper. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.